Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, it's the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 8:10 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Great to have you on a Friday. Julio Diaz is the host of Let's Go Pensacola. It airs 4 o'clock tomorrow, and also the host and founder of the Pensacola Movie Club, where you can watch movies and talk about them. Find out more on Facebook. Julio Diaz, welcome back, sir. Happy New Year.
Good morning, Andrew. Happy New Year to you, too.
Outstanding. We Bury the Dead is the first movie up today, and...
Yeah, so typically the first weekend of a new year is not necessarily a big movie week. You know, there's you're still getting over the hangover of all the stuff that came out at Christmas, all the art house stuff that's getting ready to compete for awards, which the award season is underway. Basically, we've got the Critics' Choice this weekend. I believe the Golden Globes are next weekend, and then the Oscar nominations come out right after that. So it's weird that we actually have a few new releases this week, and they're all apparently pretty decent. We Bury the Dead is as you might guess from the title, it is a zombie story. But this one is more using zombies as kind of a allegory for loss and grief. It stars Daisy Ridley. She is a woman who ventures into this territory after the government's told her, oh, don't worry about it. They're slow moving. And, you know, they're not much of a problem. And she ventures into this area looking for her lost loved ones, and that's where things start.
Okay, all right. Because
84% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, that's really high. Okay, very good. I had just seen the 28 Years Later promo, so it's in my head as I'm hearing you talk about this. I'm trying to distinguish the two from each other. So, okay, very good.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we've got those coming out in fairly close proximity because the next 28 movie comes out in a couple weeks.
Got it. The Plague, not to work on a theme of death and decay, but The Plague...
Yeah, this is actually not about the same kind of thing. It's a kind of a coming of age thriller about a kind of a hazing ritual at a school where a young man befriends another young man who has severe acne, and the things that happen as a result of that. This has the rare distinction of, despite having many, because sometimes you see. You'll see 100% on Rotten Tomatoes sometimes, and you'll look, and there'll be like 5 reviews.
Right.
There's 60 reviews on this film, and it's still at 100%.
Huh.
So it's pretty much universally liked by the critics.
Well, and it sounds interesting, and because anybody who's been around or been somebody who's had, you know, very strong acne, you can understand why there's something to be told here as a story, and if they're telling it well, that sounds very interesting to me. All right. So The Plague's a good one. The Dutchman.
This is an adaptation of a pretty famous play. This is about a young black professional man who's in a marriage with a young black professional woman. They're having problems. They're going to see a therapist. And there becomes a question of whether the therapist is real or not. Hmm. And this coincides with him meeting a white woman who is sinister and seductive and starts insinuating herself into the situation. Decent reviews on this one, too. It's running in the 65% range.
Oh, you're right. 3 + 50, you know, for the first week of the new year is kind of an unusual
Very
one.
Rare for the first week of the new year. Sometimes you don't even get anything released the first week of the new year. So,
right.
Good week.
What are you going to watch next week? Do you know yet?
We're looking at possibly Primate.
Okay.
You may have seen the trailers for this about the family with the pet chimp that goes
yes,
bad.
Yes.
You know, that old saw. looking at that possibly, but when we know for sure, we'll put it up on Facebook.
And also, tomorrow, you're going to be doing something because, you and I were talking before we got on the air, and you said that even though there's 3 fairly good movies coming out this week, the only thing anybody seems to really be talking about in the entertainment world is Stranger Things, which the final season is all out now and all the episodes are available. But you're going to be talking extensively about that tomorrow on Let's Go Pensacola, right?
Yeah, we'll be talking about the finale, but we're going to be kind of doing a deep dive on the series as a whole.
Okay, excellent. Very good. Julio Diaz, he is the host of that show on 4 o'clock on Saturdays, the Let's Go Pensacola. You can listen to it here on News Radio 92.3. Also, the Pensacola Movie Club on Facebook, where they announce movies and talk about them after they watch them together. My friend, Happy New Year again. Thank you for the time, and we'll talk to you again next week.
right. Thanks, Andrew.
Sure. So 8:15, almost 8:15 here on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you or delays. It looks like Highway 90, 29, 98 all look good this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
All of your local news and talk from dependable host Andrew McKay on your morning drive with Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Nick Kyrgios and Irina Sabalenka, the Evolve Talent Agency, Coca-Cola Agency, Arena, and the United Arab Emirates, and anyone else associated in any way with the so-called Battle of the Sexes tennis exhibition played last weekend in Dubai. In case you did not see, Kyrgios, the 671st ranked male player in the world, played an exhibition match against Sabalenka, the number one ranked female player in the world. As you might expect, Kyrgios beat Sabalenka easily in straight sets 6-3, 6-3. But that's the point. This was a no-win scenario for the woman. First, Kyrgios has only played 6 tour-level matches in the last 3 years because of wrist and knee injuries, so if he had won, which he did, it would look like any male tennis professional can beat any female tennis professional, seeming to indicate that men are faster, stronger, and more athletic by nature than women, which we know cannot be true because our most holy feminist creed tells us that men and women are the same, except for the things women are better at than men, which pairs perfectly with the holy inequality corollary that there are no things men are better at than women. And of course, if she had won, the male chauvinist pig boys of the world would say, well, that's just because he ranked so low and he was injured. So no win. But it's actually much worse than this. The special rules for this exhibition only gave each player one serve, making every serve essentially a second serve, thus depriving Kyrgios of the decisive serving advantage he would normally have. Even worse, the service line was 2 feet shorter on her side of the court, meaning that he had to take even more speed off his serve just to get it in. The width of the court was also reduced by 2.5 feet for an overall court surface area reduction of about 10% in order to make up for the 10% superior speed of men. Now, yes, we do appreciate the effort to impede Kyrgios so as to make the participants equal, as we all learned was a noble endeavor from Harrison Bergeron, our most revered reference work on the proper establishment of equity. But again, don't you see how this effort to equalize them actually just humiliates Sabalenka? The more you disadvantage the mid-level injured male, the more you make this a no-win scenario for the top-ranked healthy female. It was just such a foolish thing to allow, especially since it ran directly contrary to Dobrzhansky's second dictum. Never, ever allow your gender truths to be subjected to empirical testing. Allowing our most holy gender dogmas, such as the total equality of men and women, to be actually tested only runs the risk of making the truths look wrong, even though our ideology assures us they're right. Remember, we only pretend to love science when it says what we want and not when it has a chance of telling us we're wrong. Just as some people do with the Bible, we love science as long as it's on our side. But that's why you don't randomly allow experiments without knowing the outcome, which is what happened here. Despite giving Sabalenka every conceivable advantage, Kyrgios easily beat her, and was obviously only playing at half his potential even so. If some random gender heretic, you know, a believer in the inequality of the sexes, I hate to say it out loud, had wanted to design an event to prove that athletes identified male at birth are stronger and faster than athletes identified female at birth, they couldn't possibly have created anything more convincing than this event. Which, side note, also reminds people why their concerns about transgender athletes competing in women's sports are valid. Yet another gender blasphemy promoted by the event. If the point was to humiliate a very talented female athlete and to definitively invalidate our most precious doctrines of gender anarchy, then this was a success. Which is why the Ministry of Truth has declared it an abject failure. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, the American Kennel Club, which this week added three new dog breeds. The Teddy Roosevelt Terrier, which is a black and white short hair with the face of a Doberman. The Russian Setnaya Belonka, which is a taller Shih Tzu with sheepdog hair. And the Basset Fauve de Bretagne, which looks like the face and fur of a golden retriever draped over the skeleton of a dachshund. These approvals bring the list of officially recognized breeds to 205. But dear Utherin, haven't you read the pronouncements about this matter from the Supreme and August Wokalites at the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals? PETA is seeking a court injunction to stop the AKC from the ongoing practice of recognizing dog breeds because so many of them have health issues, likely from the unnatural efforts to twist and deform the genetic components of those breeds into extremes at the price of their health. But that's only the frosting on the cake. The cake of the problem is the very idea of having approved breeds at all. Don't you see the racist implications the AKC is perpetuating by teaching humans that some dogs are official, approved, and worthy of being named, whereas other dogs are unofficial, unapproved, and so unspecial that they can simply be called mutts, or mongrels, or mixed breeds, and aren't even allowed to compete in shows? Just like humans, all dogs are beautiful, whether they represent supposedly pure bloodlines or what? Impure bloodlines? Racist much? This eugenics-promoting dogocracy of favoring certain features and appearances over others is inherently inhumane, not to mention incanine. Are we really to carve up the dogs into better and worse, legitimate and illegitimate, winners and losers at the genetic lottery, and not imagine that children won't draw similar connections to people as well? For shame. So to the AKC and its aristocratic dogists, we say get! No more shall we demean and insult the ordinary run-of-the-kennel puppies. We obviously don't say run-of-the-mill when we're talking about dog breeding. Every dog is a champion. There are no breeds except that we've made them. Just like people, all dogs are equal, even though, also like people, some dogs are more equal than others. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Since we're already in this vicinity, we must also now announce the findings of the 51st Semi-Ecumenical Multilettering Conclave on Councils, Conferences, and Conventions has issued an official certificate of cancellation for reality TV star Kim Kardashian. What did she do this time, you ask? Well, for Christmas, and to be clear, simply saying the name of that holiday in no way implies that we endorse Jesus, the Bible, or Christianity in any way, and certainly not over the other even more important holidays like Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Festivus, Body Day, or Winter Solstice. I see you, Sister Ravenwood, with your eye of newt. All holidays, of course, are equal, except that Christmas is less equal than the others. But I digress. For Christmas, Kim gave each of her four children a Pomeranian puppy, which the family already has three of. Well, turning once again for oracular wisdom to our gracious, wise, always fair, and never exaggerating friends at PETA, founder Ingrid Newkirk wrote on X, "Puppies are not plushies, and it's a damn shame that Kim missed the chance to be a spokesperson for shelter pups and instead is being rightly shamed on social media for that." By the way, kudos for choosing the awkward term spokesperson, Ingrid. But yes, instead of purchasing puppies from some filthy, disgusting animal breeder who responds to market forces and a capitalist attention to consumer sentiment in producing for profit the little puppies that people actually want, Kim should absolutely have instead acquired the family pet gifts from a shelter. Not only is she reinforcing the racist breeding standards created by the aforecanceled American Kennel Club, but she had the audacity to buy the family a pet they all already know they like and prefer, instead of introducing a completely unknown and random variable into their family's existing animal ecology. Shame on her. Newkirk went on, saying, she can try to make some amends now by sending their kids to volunteer at a local shelter, or paying for a local shelter adopt-a-thon, or at least one spay day to help stop the growing homeless puppy crisis. Yes, this is exactly right, because it correctly conceives of her sin as a spiritual one, for which she does need to make atonement, or reparations, or perhaps to purchase some animal indulgences from PETA to demonstrate her true repentance and contrition. But as we all know, the very first of the five steps for moral restoration, according to PETA, is confession. Ms. Kardashian should confess her animal rights sin in public on social media, where all true spiritual renewal begins. She should then say at least 10 Hail Gaias, perform 20 hours of community restoration, 5 per puppy, contribute an appropriately lavish number of ducats to approved animal rights agencies in the Los Angeles area, and finally, beg forgiveness from the holy hive mind of collective outrage. Then, and only then, may she be considered to have cleansed herself from this grave sin and be restored into the communion of the faithful. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
How dare you mute Andrew's accompaniment?
I had a
John,
twitch.
You had a twitch?
Yeah, I did. I was like, oh, okay, this is over now. Oh, no, it's not.
You're going to get angry. You're going to get, sister, what's her name, with the eye of nude on you. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you or delays. Highway 29, 90, 98, 87. Not seeing anything that's going to slow you down this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Steve Taylor is in the newsroom filling in for David Wayne all this week. By the way, Steve, you did a great job all week. Thank you so much for coming in early and sacrificing sleep so we could have a news guy.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that. I'm taping this now so I could use this on the air every time
Absolutely.
I talk.
Absolutely.
As an intro. Well, President Trump is saying the U.S. is going to intervene if Iran kills peaceful demonstrators during their current economic unrest. Trump was up posting on Truth Social early this morning and said if peaceful protesters die, the U.S. will come to their rescue. Senior Iranian officials quickly responded and warned the U.S. intervention would spark chaos in the region and be met with a firm response. Well, New York City Mayor Mamdani is wasting no time going after the bad landlords. Mamdani held a news conference following the inauguration yesterday to put slumlords on notice the city will not compromise at all when it comes to the apartment maintenance and the housing quality in the city. California is targeting AI starting this year, especially when it comes to minors. Gavin Newsom has approved a set of laws aimed at protecting children online. Some set rules for AI chatbots that can detect suicidal thoughts in the users, and another requires companies to make it clear AI companions are not healthcare professionals. And that's what's happening.
Yeah, it's very important to protect children from the minors because children shouldn't have to go do that kind of work.
That's true, yeah, in the mines.
Thanks, Steve. 827 on News Radio 92.3. Just move on, as I often feel I do. Oh, we talked about this earlier in the show, but John, did you happen to see the Cracker Barrel screwed up again?
No. No
so,
way.
So what were you giving me grief about yesterday that I wasn't eating the appropriate Southern food for New Year's Day? I wasn't having black-eyed peas.
And cornbread.
And greens, right?
Cornbread.
Yeah, and because that meant I wasn't going to get my wealth, my luck, my good health, all the things that you get from ingesting the magic food, right?
Correct.
Okay. Well, Cracker Barrel, I mean, do they try to screw up? I'm not sure
I really think
now.
That they do.
So for years, Cracker Barrel, I've never eaten it. I'm just going on the reports. For years, Cracker Barrel has had black-eyed peas on the menu for New Year's Day.
Oh, yeah.
Which makes perfect sense because they cater to a Southern food-loving audience and people might be traveling away from home,
comfort
away from their
foods.
Own kitchens, all that
yeah.
kind of stuff. Apparently, people who went yesterday and tried to get black-eyed peas were told, well, that's not on the menu. And they said, yeah, but it always is. And they said, but not this year. Oh.
Boy, what a great year for them.
They have been, and now we're in a new year.
Oh, they started off good.
Maybe they didn't eat their black-eyed peas and greens and cornbread, and that's why they made such a terrible decision. So
you really didn't eat any yesterday?
I didn't, no. Oh, but I did look. Once upon a time, I had you're going to hate me for this. I had a can of black-eyed peas mm-hmm. in the cupboard that I hadn't used, and I think we donated it to Phil the Mayflower because I hadn't used it, and I went to look to see if I had it because I was going to make it.
Right.
I've got some sausage and ham and stuff at home. I was going to throw some stuff in there. I didn't have it. I'm like, nah, I'll make other food instead. So I did. I made other food instead.
At least get some cornbread.
I made the good traditional Southern dish of buffalo chicken dip.
Okay.
For New Year's Day.
Okay.
That's what I did.
At least
instead.
Get some cornbread.
Oh, speaking of New Year's Day things, put my computer on, please.
Well, we weren't.
Eight, seven, six, five, four, three, two, one. Plunge! Happy New Year from Navarre Beach, Florida.
That's Romy White, the editor-publisher of South Santa Rosa News, out at Navarre Beach for the Polar Bear Plunge yesterday, which there were other ones around, but that's one I happened to catch online. So there you go. Have you ever done that, John? Gone out in the cold water?
No, I'm
sorry. Would you ever?
Probably not.
See, I would do it, but it's not, I'm not interested enough to make the plan, to make the trip, to face the crowd in the parking, and then, you know, the hours that it takes on a prep day normally to go do it.
Right. Well,
but I would do it. I mean, I would get in cold water and be crazy for 3 minutes for sure. That'd be fun.
Just let me film it.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. It's a sixth day of protests in Iran, and President Trump is threatening American intervention if there's a violent crackdown.
The U.S.-based human rights activist news agency has documented 7 deaths so far. Now President Trump's writing on Truth Social that if Iran kills protesters, the U.S. will come to their rescue, that we are locked and loaded and ready to go. An advisor to the Supreme Leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, said any interventionist hand that gets too close to the security of Iran will be cut. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News.
After months of American military pressure, Venezuela's President Maduro says he's open to talks with the U.S.
In an interview on state TV, Maduro said, quote, wherever they want and whenever they want, in a reference to a dialogue with the U.S. on drug trafficking, oil, and immigration.
That's Fox's Anita Vogel. Maduro hasn't confirmed or denied last month's CIA drone strike on a dock in Venezuela. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 right now, 51 degrees and mostly cloudy. I'm Steve Taylor in for David Wayne on News Radio 92.3. Escambia County is working to land a major aerospace company looking to move its world headquarters here. The unnamed company is considering building a maintenance and repair facility in Escambia County with an $8 million investment. According to Escambia County Administrator Wes Moreno, the project is called Project Britain and would bring 50 good-paying jobs with an average salary of $80,000 a year. The county commission will vote next week on giving the company a tax break for up to 10 years if they decide to locate here. Chris Plate, the CEO of Florida West Economic Development Alliance, says the company is well known in the aerospace industry and would operate a maintenance and repair business similar to ST Engineering, but on a slightly smaller scale. The county commission is going to meet on Wednesday, January the 8th. Well, Christmas is just a fond memory. It's in the rearview mirror right now. So Chris Bryant says an environmental disposal awareness is important.
Now that Christmas is just a fond memory, be careful with waste disposal. Only some wrapping paper is recyclable. Multi-laminate and styrofoam products are not. Santa Rosa County residents can now drop off bare Christmas trees. This is no tinsel, no lights, no ornaments. At the J Transfer Station, Central Landfill, the Pace Fire Rescue District, Navarre Beach Boat Ramp, or the Tiger Point Recreational Area, ECUA will pick up real Christmas trees for free with the regular collection of yard waste. Chris Bryant, News Radio 92.3.
Well, people are still talking about this. The investigation is continuing as to why the money was blowing in the wind outside of Wells Fargo Bank on Fairfield Drive.
I look to my left and there's gusts of wind that are just blowing clumps of the money across the parking lot.
According to Rodney A. and other witnesses, thousands of dollars spilled out from a Brinks truck parked near the bank.
I didn't want to see it blow away. It was literally just blowing like into the abyss.
So over a dozen onlookers helped in gathering up the cash as it blew away in the wind.
Made me feel good about the human spirit that everybody was contributing to helping out. I was surprised. There were people on bicycles, there was children, and there was all with the spirit of helping the guy out.
Well, the exact amount of that money that went into the wind remains unknown right now, and the investigation is still ongoing. Let's check the forecast from Channel 3 to see if the weekend weather is going to be nice or not.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be looking at some lovely weather today with temperatures around 70 degrees for your high, mostly cloudy skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 62. For Saturday, 70% chance of some showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, high near 72 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 48 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thanks, Brooke. Right now, let's check in with John Pickens for traffic on the fives.
That's right, brought to you by Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, visit KnoxPest.com. Knox knocks them out. Still rolling accident-free right now and even delay-free. Not seeing anything that's going to slow you down this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks, John. Right now, cloudy at 51 degrees in Pensacola, 53 in Gulf Breeze, and 46 in Milton at 8:34. Next news is at 9. Breaking news anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. And now let's check out what's happening on Wall Street. This is Your Money Now on News Radio 92.3. And it looks like a 107% tariff increase on Italian pasta is now being reduced by the Trump administration. Michael Kastner reports.
The huge spike was set to take effect later this year after an investigation reportedly found that some producers may have sold pasta at unfairly low prices. An official with the Commerce Department says that since that probe, Italian pasta makers have addressed many of their concerns about a fair, transparent process. The final levies are set to be announced in March and are expected to be between 24% and 29%. I'm Michael Kastner.
And at the opening bell, the Dow is sitting at 48,104, which is 0.09% increase. S&P 500 is up 0.43% at 6,875. And NASDAQ is up 0.89% at 23,449. And that's your money now on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more. On News Radio Pensacola.
I said a hip hop, the hip hop, you don't stop.
Rap. I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big sharp it up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It's a chance for us to talk about the news of the week, or in this case, a little bit of the year with our first of the new year, the wrap.
Woo!
Today. We got Jewel Canada Wynn, former city councilwoman. Jewel Canada Wynn is here with us and a longtime teacher. I should say.
Yes, 27 years.
So you were just starting.
Huh?
So you were just starting.
I was just starting.
Okay, all right. You'll be experienced one day.
Uh-huh.
Right? My daughter is a first-year teacher at Lipscomb.
Oh, is she really?
Yes. So,
yes. What grade is she teaching?
Kindergarten.
Oh, wow. Yeah. All right. And Craig Heinzman, the community outreach pastor at Marcus Point Baptist Church.
What's up, everybody?
You killed me.
Happy New Year's. Right,
before we get into other stuff, I do want to kind of go back a little bit. The meeting that took place at City Council where they... frankly, I think city council, particularly Delarian Wiggins, who I like, but just caved in front of the mob and voted not to give the contract for just doing community outreach and, you know, surveying to the Bayou District company. And what I thought was the most amazing thing in that meeting, I mean, there's a lot of amazing things in that meeting. The most amazing thing is they were complaining that there was a former member of city council on the selection committee. And they said, well, obviously, employees are only going to do what the mayor wants, and a former member of council is only going to do what the government wants. One of the good old boys, one of the members of the system. Have you ever considered yourself a good old boy, Jewel?
Never. I have always been the outsider.
Right.
I've been told that I was the independent one, and... You know, you.
I mean, not to be too obvious, but you are a woman. You are a black woman.
Uh-huh.
You argued extensively and worked really hard in your tenure for affordable housing, for reforms, for controlling tenants, for giving renters the opportunity to complain about problems. I mean, you were definitely not that.
I'm not that. And you know, you always want people to come to City Hall for their concerns and to be able to do that, but they need to come with some research as well,
right?
And some knowledge. I think that they missed the most important thing here about that is that I know that when I was there were some concerns that I had about processes,
mm-hmm.
but I know one thing. It takes 18 months to do the demolition.
Right.
You can't sit on your hands for 18 months. And then at the end of the 18 months.
What are we
going to
do now?
Then what are we going to do?
Yeah.
You have to be able to keep.
Be ready to go.
Ready to go. You have to be able to keep the ball going. And for for Jess. I supported doing that outreach so that we can keep it going. They don't understand that money doesn't wait on you. So if you do not have a plan, you don't have some type of idea, you can miss opportunities in 18 months.
And right now, I mean, what essentially what got voted for was a grassy field.
Right.
Uh-huh. The grassy field option and having no idea where to go after that.
No idea where to go, but let the community come together and decide on where they want to go, what should be there, because our piece of property here is different in smaller sizes than the piece of property in the bayou. And so I wanted to make sure that we would keep it going, that we would keep this process going and give them that year to help with that. I think that was a good call. I'm sorry that they did not appreciate the full focus and and the future on how it would, but I think it's a good call, and that's something that we need to do. This same group did the outreach for the Hollis T. Williams.
Right.
They did a great job, and I expected that they would do a great job for the Baptist Center. So I still think that it's a great idea. We can recover from this.
I hope.
And recover from this and not let uninformed individuals.
Well, I think it was a mixture. I would say, and I'm with the mayor on this, I think it was a mixture of people who were misled or misinformed and some people who were deliberately promoting misinformation and disinformation and lying, frankly.
And the last time I was on the rep, we actually talked about this. And I kind of was, I don't know why we went with this company out of New Orleans. Well, that was a misinformation. I didn't realize that. I hadn't read the whole story. So, I mean, I'm one of those who was like, I said something and didn't have the, you know, the going back and looked at it, and having gone back and looked at it, I was like, well, there's the only company that actually put the bid together. You know, there's 100 things that happened that were like, okay, well, let's move forward, because you have to move forward. That's the problem with Pensacola, though, is by and large, we don't like moving forward. Palafox right now is a great example of that. It's like, it's going to be the most horrible thing ever. It's going to be inconvenient for a little bit.
You're going to love it in 7 months.
Right, but it's going to be amazing once it's done.
Yeah.
But there's a faction of people that just don't want it to change.
We are really good at finding a way to say no.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And that keeps us from a lot of things. In fairness, that also keeps us from doing stupid things sometimes.
26 is optimism.
Okay.
So we're going to be able to move forward. It's going to be optimism, and all of those who, naysayers and everything, there will be a way in which everybody can come together and be able to create something wonderful.
Look at you being optimistic on the 2nd of January. I love it.
Uh-huh.
So let's talk because New Palafox is a big deal. You know, people have to have their tables and chairs out of the right of way, the sidewalk today. They got to have cars gone by Sunday. The street closes Monday, 6 a.m. You will not be able to drive on Palafox for 6 months. And it's going to be a pretty big disruption, but crucial. All the shops will be open. All the sidewalks will be open. You will be able to walk across the street at certain places. There's 400 free parking spaces. They're doing everything they can to, you know, make it not as bad as we are worried that it might be. And when they get all done, you're going to have drainage improvements. You're going to actually have drainage for the first time ever. I mean, it's actually, the pavement will look nice. The sidewalks will look beautiful. The street will look beautiful. I mean, it's going to be an amazing project. But, you know, right now it's the pain part.
Right.
Okay. It's the suffering part. But anytime you do you remodel a house, you renovate a business, you know, it sucks for that part, right?
Absolutely. We lived in a house that we had to basically strip to the walls, the studs. And it was 3 months of just the most inconvenient time in your life. Now we love it, but it took that time to get there.
And when you want something to improve, it would have been really unfortunate not to go this extra mile because one, it was just a small portion and then it was extended to cover it would have been unfortunate not to do that. And so when you want something and you want to move things forward, you find a way for the community to come together to be able to get that done. And so that is what we have to do, and go down and support them, but also let them know that we have to move forward. You have to be able to come together. I'll go through the back door to your business and stuff
but
like that.
But we do need to go down there and support our business. We need to go down
and you can go through
businesses.
The front door. The front doors are all going to be open.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it's six feet of walkway.
6 feet of walkway. That's exactly right.
So we have to find a way to come together and not put the negative on top of something that's positive.
And I think, you know, I don't know. It's easy to say after the fact how you could have presented this better, explained it better, marketed it better. I think what happened here is a picture is worth 10 billion words.
Right.
And what people saw was the bright red bricks and the round intersections.
Right.
And they thought, well, good Lord, man. You know, is basically what happened. Instead of...
all this for bricks?
Yeah, right.
But that's it. I
mean, right. Instead of showing, let's, for example, some of the many, 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 many videos of flooding on Palafox every time we get 3 inches of rain.
Right.
And then say, we've got a thing to solve that.
Yeah.
You know, so, or, you know, this is some of the ADA problems that we have on Palafox. Mm-hmm. We've got a way to solve that. And you see how this road surface looks like hell? We've got a solution for that. Right. In fact, that's being paid for by somebody else. Let's do all of that. Oh, and by the way, mm-hmm. we're going to beautify it.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
right.
like as Absolutely. An after, but in fact, instead, I think the sort of the beautification element became the center point and people didn't like it or thought, well, what's all that money going? And the substance stuff is much more interesting.
I do know that one thing I went and looked at was the historic, because one of the council members mentioned.
Jen Brer raised this concern, I think. Yeah.
They didn't want to diminish the historic significance of our town. I don't think that it would do that, mm-hmm. but I think that that was a valid point. As we grow and everything, we have to make sure that we maintain our historic.
There's going
and I think Adrian Pensacola. Was the one who said, Adrian Walker, I think was the one who said, these bricks were actually contemporary at the time. This style is actually very normal.
There was
normal.
Some thought into that. But you're right. That's what 2026 is going to be. I mean, it's going to be a lot of change for the Pensacola area.
The Bob Sykes toll booth is going away.
Yeah.
That's getting demolished any day now. The fishing pier is getting rebuilt.
So you're saying that I don't have to pay that dollar toll?
No, you're still going to have to pay the toll.
Oh, okay.
I thought DeSantis is doing away with tolls for all
Floridians. Oh, well, that's a different topic. We'll get into that in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. There's no accidents or delays to report to you right now. Everything is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Yeah, so Governor DeSantis has said he wants to get rid of property tax. I'd say at this point it's a toss-up whether any of that is actually going to pass in November or make it to the ballot or whatever, and what that will mean for I mean all your local Jewel, you know.
About to say, yeah.
I mean, if property taxes go away, the city's in trouble and the county's
in
trouble.
And the county's in trouble. Absolutely correct.
Right. And again, people don't realize that a tax that goes away doesn't really go away.
Right. It goes to somebody else.
It shifts.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So responsibility kind of shifts. So you find another way, and it's just a tax called by a different name. Or an assessment caused by
right. There you go. It's assessment, right?
Called by you still need police. You still need fire. You still need all of these essentials.
Roads
in your
don't
community.
Fix themselves for
they
free.
They don't. Right. They don't. And so now it's like, oh, I'm not paying this, but really, are you for the city? I would say, you know, you pay $150, $60 for me, but I, you know, my that stormwater fee is more than my property taxes, and so that is something that would really be a concern for me. But
I do like 65 and older. I think is one. Someone,
that's one of them. Yeah,
one of 65 and older. No
again, we're talking
tax.
About. We had gotten talking about how DeSantis is proposing making residents of Florida not have to pay tolls on the roads.
Correct.
But now we kind of got into the property tax. But yeah, right. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean that's and I think that works. Very well, especially for folks in fixed income scenarios. But then you're going to pass that. That means the rest of
under
us are going to pay a little bit
more.
Right. Right. Under 65 pays more.
Right.
And I personally don't hate that idea with parents that both have paid off their two sets of parents paid off their houses and they're good. I would be great with them not having to have to pay taxes for their house.
They own. There's something I think the logic goes like this. If a person's no longer working, why should they have to pay taxes in general, but those taxes in particular
right.
to keep their home. But I take the same logic and say, well, why should anybody have to pay to keep their home? We should all be sort of liberated from that burden. But, you know, that because I hate property taxes. But as I hate them, right. I have said many times, I'm very concerned about what this will mean in practice.
I think it would end up being an assessment. We'd have a first responder assessment or something that
which we've been moving to, right. We've been kind of, you know, Santa Rosa County's kind of moved in that direction. The Escambia city, with the MSBU increase has gone in that direction.
Right. The city tried that, 10, I think it was a fire assessment, 10, 12 years ago, and it just did not go down well with the public here. People may have a different attitude about it now, but it did not go down well. We had everybody from wheelchairs and everybody that came into the city hall, and it was just like a nightmare. It was like, what's going on here? This is just a discussion.
Just saying, praying for everybody in the city council, past, present, and future.
I do think that one of the things that would really be good is to determine who pays property taxes now and do
right.
So a true
because
really
you know
look
people
at who I right. mean you have the That's nonprofits, you have all of these other organizations. And so when you look at who's true. Actually paying or who's not.
Right.
You're really getting a true assessment of your the financial stability of where we get. And remember, property taxes do not pay for the all of the ongoing
right.
operations. But right. when you're talking about taking 20% or 30% from your budget, I mean, you could take away a fire department or a police department, your recreation department. How are we going to take care of 94 parks and all of this?
Right,
type?
Right.
You know, so people have to really look at how that's going to impact.
Well, you're
going to
pay a park fee and you're going to pay a PPD fee. See, and you're going to.
And by the time you finish, you'll be right at where you were before.
Which is, it's a great point, is I think the impossible fantasy unicorn premise that mm-hmm. the DeSantis administration seems to be working from is if we just cut property taxes, everybody will just cut their budget, all services will be the same, and everybody's right. going to be happy. Well, nonsense. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. That's
but then there's got to be a mechanism for mm-hmm. making the money up. But as you say, let's say property owners right now who pay more for the richer they are, that's how property mm-hmm. taxes
right.
work.
Right.
They're going to, you know, let's say it's a sales tax that comes in, or let's say it's a fee-based system for some of these things. Well, who's paying that? Well, typically, sales taxes are going to more disproportionately
right.
affect the lower income,
the lower income
right,
compared
those
to the higher income.
Taxes, and they disproportionately
and say, right.
impact the lower income.
And you said charities, churches, like mm-hmm. in Santa Rosa when they changed the MSBUs or the fire service fee recently, you know, suddenly churches that had an exemption are paying $20,000 a year.
Right.
It's a
yes.
big deal.
It's a big deal. So when you look at those things and you be able to truly have that conversation, and there's nothing wrong with having that conversation.
No,
you
right.
Have
the conversation.
Have the conversation. But when people really look at that expectation, the reality should.
Well, and that's the citizenry has to go. We're going to have tough talks. Mm-hmm. And that's where, again, going back to what we were talking about with the Baptist property, it just sometimes doesn't seem like certain people and certain people on all sides
right.
want to have crucial conversations, mm-hmm. especially when it comes to city council
you
meetings.
Are correct.
They just
you don't
and that's I don't know half of it. I can guarantee you that.
You know this is not going to happen, but this would be an adult thing to have happen. If the ballot measure said, for instance, eliminate all of your property taxes on your homestead except for what pays for the school district and triple the sales tax in your community.
Right.
Because then there's a what you save and what you're going to have to spend.
Yep.
But it's not going to say that.
Nope.
It's going to say just eliminate your
right.
homestead.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's,
and it leaves it up to each county to
right.
be able to become the meanies here.
Right.
Well, and it's like the millionaire, there's a billionaire's tax that they're going to put on the ballot in California that's got about 58% approval rating at this moment in time. And already people are establishing, these billionaires and these companies are establishing offices in Miami
right.
and Orlando.
Because they'll flee
like,
if they can.
I'm a billionaire.
They want
I can
to
do whatever
anyway.
I want.
Right.
Yeah. And so they're rolling out. Well, it sounds really good on the ballot. Yeah, we're going to tax all these billionaires until you realize then all the billionaires just left.
And their money has gone.
And then their tax money's gone
right?
too.
Yeah.
On top of it, you're like,
so it's
oh,
not
okay.
That they're not paying taxes.
We are going to run out of time. And Jewel, I actually didn't cover this yet today on the show. I'm going to cover it more in depth on Monday, but I want to get your perspective on, I don't know if you're familiar with the SB 48 that Don Gates has proposed. This, the most important part of this is it will allow single family residential zoned to, you will have to allow accessory dwelling units across the state. And so it's meant to attack affordable. They can be rentals.
Right.
They have to be longer than a 1 month rental if this passes as it's currently configured. But, and I asked him last night, I asked him if it's going to, what about HOAs where they're prohibited
right.
aside from the zoning? And he said he's going to check on that for me and get better information on the future of that. It's definitely prospective looking. So future things, but this would basically double your infill density would double is my read,
mm-hmm.
not quite, but close enough that anybody who wants to build an ADU is going to be able to build one, and the local county or city will not be able to stop them.
How big?
Well, like 1,000 square. I mean, small.
Okay.
The accessory, the mother-in-law, or the what do they call them? The granny flats, I think.
Yeah,
but
granny
I think what we need to do for the city is I would like to go back because we talked about the ADU. Issue about 8 or 9 years ago
mm-hmm.
When I was on council, and we allow ADUs. So I would have
are they allowed to be rentals?
I think so. I'm not
okay.
sure. But, you know, I know that we dealt with ADUs.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would like to see what his proposal is in comparison to what the city already
of
has.
Of course, sure.
as far as ADUs, because okay. we talked about how adding ADUs would increase housing affordability, one, and be able to increase the density and population of the city. So I know we have something on the books for ADUs, but I would like to see how that, his proposal compares to what's already on the books.
I'd be interested in like how many per acre, like how, or half
well,
acre.
Well, it essentially would double your density, right? Mm-hmm. A single family residential becomes a dual family residential, sort of, because you're now adding a second house on the same property. Okay. Or okay. you're making it so you can't stop putting a second
no
house
matter
on the same
what
property.
The size of the property is.
As I read it, there were no, it was anything zoned for single family residential
okay.
would have to allow the construction of an ADU. Okay. And it can okay. be a rental. They cannot prohibit it from being a rental, but it does have to be a 1 month or longer. So they can't do it for like vacation rentals.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Would be. So I think it's a fascinating approach to enhancing density and solving the affordability crisis. I'd be curious to know how many people would be interested in building them if they could do that. And I'm with you, Joel. I don't know enough of the zoning to know what the city allows right now or the county. Both counties kind of allow. But and what would HOAs? Because a lot of HOAs prohibit them in their covenants.
I can imagine some HOAs certainly aren't going to allow it, regardless what the law says. HOAs make their own laws.
And that's why I don't think a state preemption can undo the covenants of an HOA.
Because like you can't know. Because like I remember in one – I was in an HOA. You could not build a shed. Like, you couldn't have a tool
right,
shed.
Right.
And I was like, well, it's legal. I can legally have a tool shed.
But not under the HOA
covenant. Under the HOA
covenant. That's exactly right. All right. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still no accidents or delays to let you down this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Meg is here. And since she's not a part of the wrap, I'll just say, Meg, it was a great game. And the one thing we can say about Meg's a Georgia fan and John is an Ole Miss fan.
Really?
Oh, and we're here together.
It was a great game.
Wow. Yeah. For Ole Miss.
Yeah. But it was still a great game.
That was actually the best.
It was the only good game of the day.
It was the only good game. Well, the Miami, Ohio. Well, the of the day, yes. But Miami, Ohio was great.
Okay. No, not really.
blown out. My brother-in-law's in Ohio.
Here, let me say this one thing. I'm right. super proud of the Georgia Bulldogs for showing up the way they did. I thought it was a great game. And I want to say, go Ole Miss Rebels. If you're going to beat us and beat us like you did, then you better damn well go on and win the whole thing. I'm an Ole Miss Rebel fan. From here on out, they got to win the whole deal.
And that's that way you can say you came in second.
Correct.
Right. I understand that. All right. Story of the year for 2025. There's a lot of stuff happening. It's
Auburn
easy
Tigers.
To,
no, I'm just kidding. That's
not it's easy
snow.
To think.
The snow.
The snow in January. That's a great story.
Yes. I was going to say that the story of the year was the closure of the government and the missing of the homecoming air show.
45-day closure and the base air show.
The base air show is a big deal. I don't think people realize how big of a deal that air show was and how big of a deal it was to our economy, and that's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
A huge thing. But yeah, you're right. The snow. I mean,
snow.
What's the anniversary? We're coming up on
it's
it, right?
It's coming now,
it's January.
Was it now?
It's somewhere in the middle, I think.
I can't remember the date, but it wasn't the first or second. It was like the 10th or something, is what I think
it was
in my head.
Snow. I could see my grandbabies doing snow angels.
You're a whole life you've lived in Pensacola, right?
No, I grew up in Century.
Oh, okay. So, but whole life in the county.
In the county, yeah.
And there's never been a snow like this.
No, not that much.
I've never seen it. I've been in the panhandle.
Snowflakes and stuff like that.
Right.
But other than that, it was like, oh!
Yeah, it was crazy. That was super crazy.
When we have the most snow in the country, when I think Milton, didn't Milton have a foot? Wasn't it 12 inches?
Yeah, we had.
It was 10 inches. 10 inches in Milton. Okay.
Yeah, we had eight.
That's amazing. And it was fun to be here. I was, I said at the time? I felt the most sad for people who were on vacation out of the area when it happened.
Oh, yeah.
Because this huge thing happened that affected everybody that we all collectively. I mean, I still have snow in my freezer.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah.
So
I got a snow in my freezer from last year.
And of course,
I got a snowball in my freezer.
Yeah,
what?
For me, it was the base.
You don't, John?
Yeah, that was a big deal.
That was a big deal.
No, you give me grief about not eating black-eyed peas and you don't even have snow in your freezer?
No.
No.
Whatever.
I'll just get some ice and throw it in there. How about that? Okay, we're good.
All the same. And one thing, since we've been kind of on this theme all day, the black-eyed peas. Dime or no dime? This is new to me. I didn't even know about the dime thing.
The dime
you throw a
thing
dime
is,
in,
I'm
like
a dime
Jesus
guy.
We
did not do black eyed peas this year, and I'm probably gonna. I'm gonna suffer because I didn't do it. But yeah, I'm a dime.
It's right
guy.
In the Bible.
Yeah, it is. It's first. First has a hua.
First opinions.
First has a hua. 5:27.
So, but Jewel, you got a safety note. No dime in the black eyed peas.
No dime. Last time I had a dime, I had to I worry about who swallowed it. No dime.
I was no dime with kids. We would do an adult.
But there's no magic if there's no dime, right?
We do an adult pot and we do a kid pot. And that's what we did when I was growing up. We did an adult pot and a kid pot. The kids got the pot with no dime in it.
Does the dime go in after you split the pots?
No. Well, yeah.
One pot. Well, then the kid pot carries no magic.
That's right.
Now, you have to remember now, if only one person gets the dime, then no one else has good luck.
No. The dime contaminates the whole thing in a good way.
Yeah.
And then that goes into your body, and then for the whole year, you've got good luck.
Yeah, right. No. Nightmares. It was like, someone's going to call me and say they're in the emergency room. Nah.
Craig Heinzman, Jewel Canada win. Happy New Year. Thanks for the time. Meg's up next with Pep Talk.